relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story.
When you announce that you're running for a second term, even then you won't go back to Twitter, even if Elon's fixed it?
No, I'm not going back. I told them I'm not going back. I don't want to go back. And I think it's, first of all, I think it's highly overrated with all the bots, with all the fake accounts and everything else. And I don't think Elon's going to buy it, or he's going to get a much lower price. I don't think he's going to buy it, because I think a lot of that interaction is fake. Yeah. And that's what he's finding.
That was the president last week with us here on America First. If you missed it, why? Where were you? Were you trapped under a rock? And if you did miss it, you know what? Go to Rumble. Watch the whole interview with the president. It's not on YouTube for a very special reason, and I'll explain that momentarily. This is America First, coming to you from the ReliefFactor.com studios just outside the insalubrious, fetid, rank swamp that is Washington, D.C. What a perfect guest to discuss such issues as YouTube, as Rumble, as the future of social media, than the founder and CEO of Rumble itself, Chris Pavlovsky. Welcome in studio.
Thank you for having me, Sebastian. Glad to be here.
All right, so much to discuss. Let's start with who you are and how you came to be the CEO of this YouTube upstart, you know, adversary.
Yeah, so I started like 2 decades ago. I remember it was like 2005. One of my friends sends me, and it was ICQ message at the time, and he's like, hey, check these guys out, while I was building video sites. He's like, these guys are going to dominate. That company at the time was YouTube. So fast forward to 2007, Google buys YouTube. They suck up all the oxygen in the room. They end up becoming the de facto video platform and kind of dominate the space. So it wasn't until about 2010, where I started seeing this type of preferencing happening. I saw basically YouTube was starting to walk away from the small creator. They were really deprioritizing our friends and family, aunts and uncles, and really prioritizing like huge channels, influencers, brands, corporations, and really kind of left alone that small creator. So by 2013, I decided to get back in. I started Rumble in late 2013, entirely on the premise of really kind of focusing on that small creator, our aunts and uncles, and giving them the same kind of tools that the large creators would get on these incumbent platforms, and the monetization, the distribution, and just kind of really bringing them a platform that treats them fairly like everyone else. It was probably like 7 years too early. But it nevertheless, you know, that allowed us to really build something really good in those 7 years. And it wasn't until about 2020 when Congressman Devin Nunes discovered us in the summer of 2020. And that's kind of when things hit the fan. So Devin joined Rumble in the summer of 2020. And what happened was he literally, I remember it was like 11 o'clock at night. One of my colleagues is like, actually my colleague Alex, we're talking on the phone, we see this sign up coming from Congressman Nunes, and we're like, what is this? Is this actually Devin Nunes? Like, we're Canadian, and we're like, is this actually real?
You mean he's creating an account on Rumble?
Yeah, is this a fake account? Like, or am I under investigation by the House Intelligence Committee, right? Like, I didn't know what it was. So we looked into it, it looked to be real. A week later, I get on the phone with the congressman, and he asks me a simple question, He's like, and I thought it was like a trick question at the time. And it was like, Chris, if I bring my content, my podcast to your platform, and someone searches my name, are they going to find it? And I'm like, yeah, of course. We're definitely right. Not going to be censoring an elected official's podcast on our platform. That's not going to happen for sure, I promise. So he ends up bringing up his content onto our platform. And, you know, within 2 to 3 months, he accumulates 300,000 subscribers.
Now, you've got to say the backstory to that, which you shared with me before we came on, which is he had a YouTube channel where he was putting his content for X number of years. You said he was paying for billboards in California across his district saying, go sign up to my YouTube podcast. And he was maxing out at how many followers?
Yeah, so think of this. He has, like, billboards in California. He's advertising his podcast.
He's a national known politician.
He's Congressman Devin Nunes, right. Ranking member of the Intelligence Committee at the time. And he's only accumulated 10,000 subscribers on YouTube in 4 years. In 4 years. He comes to Rumble. In 2 to 3 months, he accumulates 300,000 subscribers. So are we going to sit there and believe that Rumble had more users than YouTube? Like, is that...
You will, eventually.
Let's hope so. This is at a time when Rumble was, like, not even known. Like, we were lucky to have a million, you know, active users on our platform at the time. And, you know, YouTube has close to, like, 200 million in the U.S. alone. Plus, you know, globally, they say 2 billion. And they couldn't find an audience for his podcast, but Rumble somehow did. Like,
yeah, during the Russia collusion hoax, people didn't want to hear Nunes talk about it on YouTube. That tells you why you need Rumble. That tells you guys why you need to subscribe to rumble.com/Seb Gorka, not just for the interview with the president, but everything we do on this show. That's rumble.com/SEBGORKA. And I'm going to do it right now in front of millions of listeners across the nation. I've got a debt of gratitude to you, and especially Dan Bongino, because of what happened to our YouTube channel. We had my personal channel, we had the channel for this show. Both of them were terminated, and I'll tell you why they were terminated in a moment. But as soon as they were terminated, I think they were terminated on a Thursday or a Friday, I told Dan Bongino before his show, and he talked about it on his radio show. He was so pissed. He knew you, and he got in touch with you guys, and you helped us to get our live streaming show, which was on YouTube, live streaming on Rumble on the Tuesday after we were terminated on YouTube. And I don't know if Eric, are you out there? What's our number now on Rumble? How many subscribers?
Over 366,000.
366,000. So you know, we were nixed. We were unpersoned in an Orwellian sense on YouTube. And then we're almost 400,000 on Rumble already. And I just want to share with everybody so you understand the story. We were terminated because of a video which wasn't public. After January the 20th, everybody was warned, you are not allowed. All content providers were sent an email by YouTube. You are not allowed to question the results of the election. Biden is the president. Any videos which do blah, blah, blah. And we said, okay, we're super, you know, cautious about it. And so we know that we had an interview with one of my colleagues in California who had said back in whenever, December, the following on an interview as a journalist. There are many Trump voters who have a problem with the results of the last election. That was her statement. We said, okay, make that a private video. Nobody can see it unless it's, you know, our back office or YouTube's back office. That's the video they used to terminate us. A video that wasn't public was the reason. So clearly, there's a need for Rumble, Chris.
Yeah, no, that tells me that someone was looking and snooping in your account.
Yeah, someone was going to find a reason to get rid of us.
And they don't accept people expressing opinions, which is bizarre.
First Amendment.
It's like, I never thought this isn't
child pornography. We're not teaching how to make a Molotov cocktail. This is somebody saying, which is a statement of fact, many Trump voters have a problem with the results of the election. And boom, gone.
That's unbelievable.
And I want to say thank you to you and Dan for helping us.
No, absolutely. And thank you for using the platform and being part of it. It's we have a duty, and the duty is to really treat everybody fairly and make sure that everyone can express their opinions and debate and have good conversation. That is the foundation of what this country was built on. We'll never waver on that. That is like the core fundamental value of Rumble. I cannot believe that we're at a point right now where you can't even have these debates anymore. It's crazy to me. I didn't think that would be a competitive advantage in any business to be aligned with the First Amendment, but it certainly is today. And we will never waver on that. That's core to my being.
Well, God bless you. God bless Devin Nunes, Dan Bongino. It is rumble.com. It is the, I call it the First Amendment alternative to the fascistic YouTube. Please go there, create an account, make sure you follow us. It is rumble.com. And then our account, our stream is rumble.com/Seb Gorka. That's S-E-B-G-O-R-K-A. Be sure to be subscribed. We live stream there all 3 hours of the show. Then we put the segments up afterwards. You will never miss a thing if you go to rumble.com/Seb Gorka. If you believe in the First Amendment, you've got to be there. Likewise, if you're into the audio version, make sure that you go to Spotify, plug in my name, America First. Never miss an episode, especially of our one-on-ones. This is the long form. This is where you get to listen to the news makers, the true experts like Chris. Go to your favorite podcast platform, put in my name, put in Sebastian Gorka. Never, ever miss an episode. Write a review. It truly helps with the algorithms, and share the links and guarantee that you never ever miss an episode. If you haven't done so already, be sure to register for our Stand With Israel tour. We are going to the Holy Land for 10 days later this year with none other than the director of 2000 Mules himself. Yes, Dinesh D'Souza and his lovely wife, Debbie. We will be there in the Holy Land where our Lord and Savior walked the earth, standing on the shores of the Sea of Galilee, walking in the Garden of Gethsemane, on the Temple Mount in Jerusalem. Register today. Even if you've been to Israel, you haven't been with me and Dinesh. So make sure you've got your seats reserved. Call right now, 855-565-5519, or just go to standwithisraeltour.com. That's 855-565-5519, standwithisraeltour.com, standwithisraeltour.com. Dear friends, you know my friend Mike Lindell has a passion to help everyone get the best sleep of their lives. He didn't stop by simply creating the best pillow. Now Mike has done it again by introducing his My Slippers. For a limited time, you'll get $90 off a pair of My Slippers. This blowout sale of the year won't last, so order now. They took over 2 years to develop. They're designed to wear indoor and out. I've already worn out my first pair of My Slippers, and they're made with the same amazing My Pillow foam and impact gel to help prevent fatigue, and lined with real suede. Call 800-829-8468. Use promo code Gorka for that massive discount, or just go to mypillow.com and click on the radio listener square and put in the secret code G-O-R-K-A. This offer won't last long. You won't regret it. They are the best slippers I have ever owned. And $90 off MyPillow.com. Do it today. Promo code G-O-R-K-A. It's not just about video production and content providers. It's also about the massive social media platform that is Twitter and the competitors. Let's listen to one man who seems to have some designs on Twitter.
And a good sign as to whether there is free speech is someone you don't like allowed to say something you don't like? And if that is the case, then we have free speech. And it's damn annoying when someone you don't like says something you don't like. That is a sign of a healthy, functioning free speech situation.
Pretty logical. Sounds right to me. Chris, I know you work closely with the people at Truth Social. Something's happened there. Devin was on the show a week ago. Now that it's available through the website, through the mobile.com on Android, my account is exploding. It was growing about 1,000-2,000 subs a day. Now it's 4,000-6,000 per day on my account. Why do we need another social media account? Talk to us about Twitter. And you're a businessman. You're not in it for charity. Elon says he's just doing it for the freedom. I think he wants to make some money as well. Can you explain to me how Twitter doesn't make money with gazillions of users? What is the problem there? And maybe it has something to do with bot accounts. This study last week that half of President Biden's 22 million followers aren't real people. So talk to us about this weird thing that is Twitter.
Yeah, and you know, I keep banging my head against this and trying to figure it out. But you know, when you compare, and I think there's a really good comparison now. You have Truth Social, so you can actually put two
very similar things.
Yeah, two pieces of evidence right beside each other, and you know, you look at it and you're like, you have half the followers on Truth and you have double the followers on Twitter, and you're getting more engagement.
Meaning an individual post on the site that has smaller reach gets far more interaction with the followers by multiples, which just makes sense mathematically.
They were only on iOS for like the first little while here. They're only on mobile web and iOS now. Yeah. They're only in the United States, whereas Twitter's global on every device, every platform. Right. I think you can even find Twitter on a TV if you really wanted to get it on there. So like, and then when you look at the interaction that you get on Truth versus the interaction you get on Twitter, you're looking at the users that are coming to you on Twitter, and they're like, hello, 1, 2, 3, 6, like thousands of digits.
Generated.
And then you're looking at Truth, and they're actual like genuine comments that are like, you know, positive, and you know, you're gonna find negative ones, but like legitimate comments. So,
yeah.
I think that really kind of pokes a hole. And it was funny because we never heard anything about bots until Devin went on TV one day and said, "I think there's a lot of bots on there."
Oh, really?
And then it was on Fox, and then you know, a week later, next thing you know, we're hearing a lot about bots out of nowhere. So, I don't know. I don't know what the numbers are there. I don't, you know, I don't have that data, or I can't see that data. But anecdotally, from what I see, this is like...
Well, and the funny thing is, whenever I get really atrocious stuff, you know, people DM me or really do disgusting comments on my Twitter, it's very interesting. You go to their account, and it is like clockwork. Every one of these trash accounts has between 8 and 12 followers.
Yeah, it's very similar. Yeah, they
know each other, and it's like 8 followers. That's it.
It's true. I've seen that.
Right.
I've seen the same thing, and it's a question that needs to be asked. I'm really happy Elon's asking it, because like that's a massive investment that he is looking to do, and if there is any type of fraudulent traffic on there, you're gonna want to know exactly what that. If that's above 5%. Or it's below 5%, you're going to want to know.
Talk to us about, you mentioned that the how widespread a given microblogging system or video system is, the stranglehold potentially based upon apps. So the iOS, the iPhone versus the Android. You were telling me some very interesting figures. I thought, you know, the iPhone corners the market, but you're telling me that there's a huge proportion of people who are on Android.
Yeah, I don't think people appreciate the amount of market there is on Android. And I think this is absolutely true for Rumble. The majority of app users are on Android.
Wow.
But for some reason, we're all focused on iPhone all the time, and we should be focused on Android. And I'm an Android user myself and an iPhone user. I have, you know, multiple phones, but Android is my first choice when I choose my phone.
Because?
Just I felt like it was... It's something I started with like 10 years ago, and you just kind of, you know,
habit.
Yeah, out of habit, I ended up there. And we know we typically put a lot of focus on iPhone, but the market is larger for Rumble on Android, and it's much larger when you get outside of the United States. But even in the US, we're seeing like well over 50% on Android, close to 55% around there. So the Android is something to definitely put a lot of focus into. And I think that, you know, for Truth, for example, the fact that they're only on iOS and they don't have the Android app, I think that gives them a lot of room to grow as well.
How much of a danger is that you know, you are at the mercy of the quote-unquote app store when you're developing a new product?
Good thing there's two of them instead of one. Because, like, right now there's only one search that is, like, which is Google. You could say there's a few others. But at least there's two. You have Apple, and then you have Google. If I were to pick an app store that I think is going to treat us more fair, it would be Apple. Just from the egregious things that I've seen Google do on the monopoly side and preferencing and stuff.
You mean Android?
No, I actually prefer the app store. I think they're friendlier.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
From my, you know, my interactions. Obviously we're in a lawsuit, in a multi-billion-dollar lawsuit with Google for antitrust. So my affection towards Google as a whole is less than Apple, for sure.
Well, I'm going to ask you about that. I'm going to ask you about what we can do about Google. What is it? Is it a monopoly? Is it a cartel with Alphabet and YouTube? We're talking to Chris Pavlovsky, CEO and founder of Rumble. Go to rumble.com/Seb Gorka. If you enjoy the show, please support those who make it possible. Get great patriots like Mike Lindell. The cancel culture leftists want to destroy this man. Show him your appreciation. Demonstrate that you have his back. He is now giving up to 66% off his products. If you use my name at MyPillow.com, you can call 800-829-8468. That's 800-829-8468. Or just go to MyPillow.com, promo code G-O-R-K-A. So perhaps, let's get a little bit technical here, Chris. Perhaps the biggest obstacle to doing what you do, or anybody who wants to create an alternative platform, is where do you put the data? Is it safe? Can you, you know, like Parler, can you just be switched off at the flick of somebody's capricious decision? So how did you work that out? How big of a challenge is, what would you call it, resilience for your structures?
Yeah, that is the largest, single largest challenge that we've had in the last 2 years, is building the rails to what everything is going to sit on. As we know what happened with Parler, the lights went out because Amazon didn't like them. When we built Rumble, we built it the old-fashioned way. We got servers.
That's a data storage facility.
Yeah, we went into a data center and we did it the old-fashioned way. So we were a little bit more resilient in comparison to the competition. We weren't dependent on a cloud infrastructure like Amazon, where one person can turn off the button and turn you off. And so what we've done in the last year, actually since Peter Thiel invested in Rumble back in 2021. And J.D. Vance at Narya Capital, one of the things they asked me before they invested is, like, how did you build your infrastructure? And I was like, you know, it's the old-fashioned way, server by server. You know, we're not using a cloud. And they're like, what are your ambitions to expanding that? And I'm like, I think it's absolutely essential. It's more essential.
So you aren't in some amorphous cloud service. You own or you rent out the servers.
At that time, it was like a lot of renting and stuff. Today, it's a completely different story. So that one of the major components of that investment was to build the cloud. Build the cloud that Truth Social can sit on. Build the cloud that
Your own
Rumble,
cloud.
Our own cloud.
Got it.
Where we control the switch that's based on First Amendment values and American values. And that's what we've done. We've, to a large extent, you know, well, we now know Truth Social is entirely on Rumble's cloud. They're using it. Rumble is still migrating onto our cloud bit by bit. It's a very big beast to move over. So right. We're doing it bit by bit. We're almost there, but hopefully we'll be complete very soon. And the whole purpose of that is that we need a rail that we can depend on that is not going to be cancelable by this cancel culture that's out there. And when you do that, then you can start building real businesses on top of this. And then you can start competing in the market. Without that, you know, your business is really sitting on a house of cards. Like, it can fall at any point in time.
But even if you have that, and we're very glad that you're building that, you said in before we came on that's not enough, and you're also concerned. So you're based out of Canada. There is the other aspect, which is regulation. And you said it's getting worse. So talk to us about the other things you have to contend with.
Yeah, there's multiple things. So cloud is one of them. Then you have to deal with regulations. And, you know, we're happily moving to Florida, and we're going to have our headquarters in Florida, in Sarasota.
Very smart.
Yeah, we had to get out. We had to get down there as soon as possible. Very friendly state. So we're excited about that. So we're not going to have those headaches anymore. But the reality is, that's true. You have to worry about legislation. You have to worry about the regulations and legislation that'll come through that will impede on the business. You also have to worry about the entire stack, right? Like, it's great to have two competitors, Android and Apple, iOS, but we need another one out there as well. So we have to think about expanding the stack on the consumer side.
What does that mean? What does stack refer to?
So, like, the stack, let's look at the stack from everything from where we build the business all the way from the cloud and the wires that connect the houses all the way to the end user in their hands. So everything from, you know, cloud, the business, the phones, the manufacturers, the software on the phones, all the way to you. We need to be able to have a way up and down that stack that gets to, you know, connects the end user to the end user. Like, essentially, that's what we need. We need to have the whole stack. What we focused on was the very bottom of it, the infrastructure side. Once you have that, you're in the clear to exist, but like you want to make sure you want to make that defendable and build all the way up.
So what does it look like to you in 10 years from now, 15 years from now? Is there another operating platform? Is there a baby Alphabet competitor? Give us your ideal scenario.
So I think the whole market's going to move, and we're kind of seeing it move right now. But this, like, what we want to do is we want to free every creator and free every business to not have, like, other businesses influencing and other, like, corporate media influencing creators on what they can and cannot say. So Rumble, we really truly believe in the independent media, where you as an independent person can create your own economy on our infrastructure, on our platform, whether it's video or whether it's cloud, but really own that economy and own that house within, you know, this ecosystem.
And so not have to placate the political correct demands of somebody
none
elsewhere.
Of that. Exactly. Not have to be influenced at all. You get to create what you want to create without any kind of intrusion.
Right.
That, and I really see this actually disrupting cable, disrupting the whole ecosystem by giving everybody the ability to have voice and getting and everyone having the ability to access those voices.
It's super exciting. Follow him also. He is on Truth Social. I don't know how he did it, but his name is just at Chris. Why didn't I get at Dr. G? I'm going to have to talk to those chappies. Chris, I don't know if you can talk about these things because you've got your own, you know, legal pursuits that may get in the way. You talked about your vision of the future and this, what did you call it? A stack?
Yep.
Where you can just provide content. You can be uploading stuff, video, microblogs, and you're not a hostage to anybody else's political proclivities, anybody else's censorious filters. Sounds fabulous. Sounds quite American to me. Give us your vision of what happens to these people. Because we've seen, thanks to Project Veritas and other documents, that this is a truly monolithic culture. The people in Palo Alto, they look at people like me, and maybe you, but definitely me, as people who shouldn't have a voice, shouldn't be allowed to have a voice, who must be somehow dealt with through the power that they have. And if you look at Alphabet, if you look at Google, if you look at YouTube, it's more power than most governments, really. If you look at
Absolutely.
Informational power, it's more power than most decent-sized nations. What happens to these entities? Because we've had a couple of things suggested. We've had antitrust measures break them up, like as happened with the telephone companies, then use the utilities approach that this is like a phone, you can't edit it. And then lastly, the removal of the 230 immunities that were put in place in the 1990s. If you had to put money on it now, what happens to these people who want to control speech? What scenario could happen, should happen, is likely to happen?
Yeah. First, just think about that. Think about how irresponsible that is to a big... imagine me choosing what you can say. Who am I? That is so irresponsible. Having a big tech company make those decisions is like, that's the most irresponsible thing I've ever heard. They talk about science, they talk about all this stuff, and they want big tech CEOs to control speech.
Yeah.
That's totally irresponsible.
As they're lecturing about inclusivity and tolerance.
You just cannot do that. It's crazy to me. What we're doing is we're on offense. You know, we like I mentioned earlier, we're in litigation with Google for antitrust. We're doing, you know, our part in trying to tilt back the market into normalcy. And
that can't be cheap.
I'm sure it's not, but yeah, it can't be cheap. But we got to do it. We have to push back against this. We can't let these companies tell us what we can and can't say. They can't dictate it. It's completely irresponsible. It shouldn't be allowed. It's not democratic by any means. And as a company at Rumble, we have to push back and do our part. And we are. We're hitting as hard as we can. And we think that as things progress over time, that, you know, whether that succeeds or not, it doesn't matter. What we need to do is we need to succeed as a business. So one of the things that we've done is that we chose to go public. We're going to be merging with Cantor Fitzgerald's SPAC, CFVI. They're on the NASDAQ as CFVI, and we're hoping to merge with them by early Q3. And, you know, I think beating them in their own playground is the way to do it. You know, if you believe in companies like Google, then they're there. If you believe in companies like Rumble and in the American values, we're here. And we need to make that available, and we need to, you know, do good by our audience and our users and punch back. I think that as time progresses, and you're kind of seeing this happen right now in the market, is that most of the market wants to be with something that is like Rumble, not something that is like YouTube. People don't like this. They know it's irresponsible. They know it's wrong. We lived in and grew up in a free society, and we're going to change that now for what? Because some CEO says that we should do that? No.
All right. So what is the possible scenario? Because there's various alternatives. There's Rumble goes public. I buy shares in it. Our listeners buy shares in it. It grows and grows and grows. What happens to? I mean, I look at Twitter, for example, and I see Elon come in, and I don't think a billionaire can save us, but clearly he's got the right enemies now. The right people are hating on him. Can you change the culture of an entity that has been predicated on censorship for so long?
You know, I made a comment about this when it first happened, before it happened, and I was convinced it was it's very difficult, and I still believe it today. I don't think it's possible to go in and change a 7,000 person company.
If you look at the figures, if you look at 94% of them have donated to Democrats,
there's going to be so much sabotage. There's going to be walkouts. There's going to be lack of motivation. Right. You're really going to have to fire everyone, or like nearly everyone, or they're going to have to leave, because you got to build these things from the bottom up. It has to be from the bottom up. It has to be based on the principles that you want. Because it really starts with the whole team. At Rumble, like, everybody matters, and everybody there is really contributing. And if everyone doesn't believe in what we're doing, it hurts the business. So, like, when you have that culture, our culture is all First Amendment. It's all about freedom of expression. That's all we care about. No, not all we care about. It's definitely the most important thing about our business. And, like, having that pervasive within your culture is what it's going to allow you to win. Like, you're looking at... Could it be done? I'm sure it could be done. Never say Elon can't do it, because, like,
he's proven many people wrong.
So I'm never going to say that. But, like, I really believe that it's one giant task, and there's just, like, there's other vehicles that are gonna get ahead of that. Rumble being one of them. I think Truth is on its way there too. I think, like, it's gonna take too long. It's too difficult, and it's definitely not worth that investment, in my opinion. Yeah. It just seems way
too expensive. Why doesn't it make money? I don't understand. How does Twitter not make money?
Maybe there's a lot of bots. I don't know.
I think we've had that discussion. Yeah, because it's... I mean, how many users are we talking about, allegedly?
Well, they say they have 39 million daily active users.
39 million.
What that means on a monthly basis, I've seen statistics that date back a few years ago saying about 60 million monthly active users. Just put that in perspective. That's in the US.
Right.
On Rumble, we're about half that. So we're about half the size. According to this 60 million, if that's true. In the US, we're about roughly 30. And, you know, why they can't make money is a real... interesting question to ask. They've had a lot of time to prove out that model.
Yes.
They haven't done it. You've seen other companies like YouTube, you know, they're generating north of 30 billion in revenue off 190 million US users, 200 million US users. So, and then you got Facebook doing billions, multiple billions, hundreds of billions for that matter. I'm not sure. The question, that question needs to go deep. And I think maybe bots might have something to do with that. The ROI is not there.
Yep.
You know, actually, this is actually quite important. One of the things we've noticed prior to having, like, the audience that we have on Rumble is that the performance of our audience exceeds what we saw 3 years ago. So the audience that these platforms are leaving behind, might actually have higher value than the audience that they're keeping.
Fascinating. All right, we're talking to Chris Pazowski. He's the founder, the CEO of Rumble. You've got to join. You've got to follow us also at Truth Social. You can follow him at Chris on Truth Social. This is America First 101 coming to you from the ReliefFactor.com studios. I have to close with one question about a significant news item of recent weeks that I don't think is over with Nina Jankowicz resigning or being fired prior to taking up her position as the Ministress of Truth at the Disinformation Governance Board. I don't think that story's dead, do you? And how much of a concern is it to you at Rumble?
I don't think it's dead. Seeing what other jurisdictions are doing, different countries, Europe, Canada, I think it's only just begun. It's going to get worse, yeah. And we're going to need to go on offense here on freedom of expression as hard as we can possibly go, because it's people want to control what you have to say. There's no doubt about that. And to me, that's irresponsible. Whether I like what you say or I don't like what you say, I should be able to hear it, and I should be able to seek whatever information I want to seek. And they're not. There should be no one out there telling me what I can and cannot hear. That's crazy to me. Yeah. And I will stand up for that forever.
A last message. What do you have for people who are thinking of signing up with Rumble or proto-content providers who are musing about doing video content? What's your message on, Chris?
You can download our app on Android. You can download our app on iOS. We have TV apps on Roku, Android, Fire TV, and Apple TV as well. So you can find us anywhere on the web So download our apps, upload your content, and contribute to Rumble. Express yourself.
Get busy, guys. Express yourself. Rumble.com. Our channel is rumble.com/SebGorka. SebGorka. And talking of content providers, have you seen 2,000 Mules? Guys, it is breaking all records for political documentary. Over 1 million downloads in the first week. Over 100,000. FedEx just moved into our offices because we were the producers, Salem Media. They had to move into our offices because over 100 million DVDs mailed out in the first week. Dinesh has dropped the price. I have a vested interest in this product because it is so important. They told you you're a conspiracy theorist. Here's the evidence. 2 petabytes worth of data, 4 million minutes of CCTV coverage, footage of how they stole the election in those key battleground states. Watch it today. Go to salemnow.com. They showed you, they told you it wasn't real. Here it is, the footage of the mules, of the people collecting the ballots in states, in municipalities where ballot harvesting is a crime. Find out for yourself, salemnow.com. That's salemnow.com and 2,000 mules. Dear friends, you've been listening to America First 101. Be sure to follow us on all social media platforms except YouTube. You know why, if you're listening to the program, including Truth Social, Twitter, Facebook, you name it, Instagram, and especially Rumble. Do it today. Wherever you are, whatever you're doing, keep your head in a swivel, watch your six, hold the line. Never give up, never give in, and stay frosty.
Fathers brought forth upon this continent a new nation, conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death.
The world will little note or long remember what we say here, but it can never forget what they did here.
Not what your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
I can hear you, the rest of the world hears you, and the people...
This is America First with Sebastian Gorka.
Welcome, dear friends. Greetings. This is America First. We're supposed to provide you with breaking news as and when. We do have 3 hours, of course, and I am told, if I look at the news screen to my right, that imminently, any moment now, it is just past 3 o'clock on the East Coast, there will be a verdict in the Amber Heard Johnny Depp trial. Seriously, who cares? Whether he's found guilty or not, or she is, doesn't mean anything for the Me Too movement, although we have learnt a lot more about this woman who poor Johnny had to be married to for so long. Let's talk about something that really matters. Let's talk about what has happened to America and the safety of all Americans. Mr. G found this tweet earlier today and sent it to me. Let's put it up on the screen, Eric. This is from one of the armed services of the greatest nation on God's earth. It is the Marine Corps. Is the official Twitter account of the United States Marine Corps. It has 4 lines of text and an image. The image is one of the old steel helmets, kind of Cold War Vietnam era, with digi camo covering, and then 6 cartridge rounds. They look like .308 7.62, which is weird to begin with. And they are brass-cased rounds, but each bullet of each round that is tucked into the helmet band is a different color. Colors of the rainbow. Red, orange, yellow, green, blue, and purple. The rainbow on a helmet designed to protect our servicemen and women in war as they close with and kill our enemies. A rainbow. Written on the band of the helmet is the phrase, proud to serve. But the use of the word proud is different from what you expect. It is the antithesis, the opposite of what we discussed here 2 days ago. No, what day is it today? Yesterday, just yesterday, when we discussed the latest Tom Cruise movie, Top Gun Maverick. Why? Because I need the tweet back, please, Eric, because I have to read it. Here is the text of the tweet from the United States Marine Corps official Twitter account. Throughout June, the United States Marine Corps takes hashtag pride in recognizing and honoring the contributions of our LGBTQ service members. We remain committed to fostering an environment free from discrimination and defend the values of treating all equally with dignity and respect. Hashtag Pride Month. Hashtag USMC. Thank you, Eric. As I responded to that tweet with my own tweet, this is an insult to all Marines who died for America. They didn't die for the Corps to virtue signal after their death. This one's personal for me. As you know, prior to my time in the White House, I was a Defense Department civilian. I was first a professor, an adjunct professor on the U.S. SOLIC, the United States USDA Defense Department Special Operations Low Intensity Conflict Program for Counterterrorism Fellows out of the George C. Marshall Center in Garmisch-Partenkirchen. For 4 years, I taught counterterrorism to all elements of the U.S. military and our allies and partners. After that, I moved with my family to Washington, and I became a professor, assistant, and then associate professor, then associate dean at the highest level of joint professional military education, the highest war college, that is the National Defense University here in D.C. at Fort McNair, National Defense University. 5.5 years, I taught on that faculty. I taught in the counterterrorism program. And then after that, I spent 2.5 years at Quantico, and I have been honored to serve with all our services, to teach the Army, the Navy,
the Air Force, the Coast Guard, but it was my 2.5 years at the crossroads of the Marine Corps at Quantico, teaching at the Marine Corps University, the captain's course, the senior enlisted course, the War College. That was a high point for my academic career because there's something special about the Marines. The Devil Dogs have a well-deserved reputation. First day in class was unlike any class I'd taught since I began teaching in 1994. They were all 05s, 06s, half-bird colonels, full-bird colonels in a small room of about 26, 28 officers. And it was an introduction to strategy and irregular warfare. And they were all polite, don't get me wrong, but in that first hour and a half, every statement I made was challenged. There was pushback. There was a serious engagement with the quote-unquote professor at the front of the class, as it should be in any Socratic educational environment, unlike any I've ever been in, which took time for people to warm up, to find their feet, to challenge me. This was different. The Marines, day one, didn't have time to waste. And I love them for it. And I'm honored to have served there for 2.5 years as the Major General Horner Professor of Military Theory. That Marine Corps has truly been desecrated. The memory of those that died for you, for me, has been desecrated. Because we don't look at Marines based upon skin color, ethnic background, whether they have an accent, or where they put their sexual organs, or how they use their sexual organs, because that's irrelevant. Their job is to prepare for war, and should it occur, to close with the enemy and to kill them. Period. Why? Because that's how they keep us safe. First on the beach. That's the job of the Marine Corps. Whether it's Iwo Jima, whether it's the Gulf War in 91, whether it's some counterterrorism operation in the Horn of Africa after GWAT was launched, after September the 11th, that's their job. And this, Commandant Berger, I've met you, Commandant Berger. I've briefed you, David H. Berger. If you approved this, you should resign. You should remove the globe and anchor from the collar of your uniform and hand it in to that other disgrace, the Secretary of Defense. If you didn't approve it, and you don't fire every Marine or DOD civilian in the chain of command that approved that tweet, you likewise should resign. Because that virtue-signaling political tweet is a disgrace. It dishonors everything that the Marine Corps, the United States military, the Pentagon, the Defense Department, and the Stars and Stripes stand for. Discrimination is already a crime, not only in the United States Marine Corps, but across the United States. It is illegal to discriminate. And virtue signaling based upon sexual preference is an outrage. And America is disgusted at you, Commandant Berger. I'm Sebastian Gorka, proud to be an American, and this is America First. Subscribe to our podcast. Go to Spotify. Plug in my name, America First, Sebastian Gorka. Share the links. Never miss an episode. Write a review. It makes a difference. We'll be back after these messages.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.